All right, Lord, anoint this message today, God, and give us ears to hear. Lord, let your scriptures continually draw us closer to you, build our faith, open our minds to the reality that you have sent our King, our Lord and Savior, to be one of us, to save us. Let that be rooted deep in our hearts, in our spirits, in our belief systems, God, through this season as we celebrate. Draw us near to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church, I know it's only November 30th, but I thought since the world is bombarding us with tradition, the tradition of Christmas materialism, that we should jump into a Christmas series immediately. There's nothing inherently wrong with tradition. I mean, we celebrate tradition. People seem to come together during the holiday season. Generosity between one another is magnified. The pretty lights and the family nights. Christmas carols and one of my favorites, eggnog. This is the time of year that is filled with what many people call the Christmas spirit. Now, I can see why many people would refer to this time of year as such, because we live in a culture that is very self-serving, self-promoting, and self-gratifying. Mankind, being cursed by sin and therefore pride-filled, just flows with the culture. Sure, being generous and kind to each other is amazing, and it is. But the sinner can have a good moral compass and have no relationship with the living God, which means there are people who do good things who unfortunately will end up in hell. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is a declaration of truth, not a threat. But before anybody gets offended, we need to remember that God is holy, righteous, pure truth, light, life, and love. In his holiness, righteousness, purity, and truth, he must punish sin. But in his grace-filled love, he sent a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, was born of a virgin and paid the price for sin in the place of the sinner. He died the death that we deserved, only to rise again because there was no sin found in him. This risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords reigns in heaven while building his kingdom on earth, returning one day soon to establish his kingdom here. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Santa Claus cannot bring anyone salvation, healing, and freedom to one's body, mind, spirit, and soul is only accomplished in Jesus. So let's begin this series. I titled this series, "The Christ of Christmas," and this particular message I titled, "The Powerful Truth of Christmas." And our main text will be Matthew chapter 1, verses 18. Oh, chapter 1, 18 through chapter 2, verse 4. And I'll read it in its entirety. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. So today I want to look at the four names that Matthew addresses Jesus in this text. He's addressed as Jesus, Emmanuel, King, and Messiah. So let's look at the first one, Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, or in Hebrew, Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. See, his name was on purpose for a purpose. It wasn't random. This was planned. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, he says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So the name Jesus is the Lord saves. What does he save us from? Well, first of all, he saves us from death, from eternal death. He brought us out of spiritual death into spiritual life, as I preached on last week. But he saves us. See, we will physically die. We will pass from this life. So even though God can raise people from the dead, and he has, the people that even Jesus raised from the dead ended up dying. Amen. So Jesus saves us from the second death, the worst kind of death, and that is eternal death. Separation from God. So he saves us from death. In Romans chapter 5 verses 8 through 10, it says this, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this." This is his love for us. "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, and we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" This is the most powerful. This is what separates Jesus, okay? And I'm not trying to necessarily defend scripture right now, as much as I really want to express the difference between Jesus and Buddha, Jesus and Muhammad, Jesus and Joseph Smith. He is a special gift from God, the one true God. There's only one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A triune God, three persons, one God, that worked together. Not plan B, but plan A the whole time before the creation of the world, when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters before anything that was made. This was the plan. Because God knew that we would not be able to live a righteous life that would keep us connected with Him. Adam showed us in the garden that it wasn't going to happen. The first two people, Adam and Eve, on the planet, blew it. Right? So there's no way you and I would ever accomplish this either. Jesus also saves us from sin and separation from God. And I would like to say that He saves us from ourselves. In Romans, again, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, the Ten Commandments couldn't save us. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, by the sin nature, God did by sending His own Son into the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who did not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, this child that was born in Bethlehem, this child that was born of a virgin, grew up, lived a sinless life. And all this is important. And it's not that I'm saying, you better believe this. I'm saying it's important that either Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man, or He's not. Either the Bible's true or it's not. And I would not be up here with such enthusiasm if I thought that there was an inkling that any of this was a lie, that any of this could have been swayed by man. The importance of Jesus is or He isn't. You see, the Ten Commandments, the law, God gave that to the Jews. He gave that to the Israelites. He drew a people out of to begin to show the world His holiness. And He gave them rules to live by, but they couldn't even do it. So God, in His love for us, sent His Son to fulfill the law. He fulfilled it so that we can have faith in Jesus. Faith in the one who did fulfill the law, which means none of us are condemned. When we do sin, we repent. We go to the throne of God and repent. But we're not cast out. We're not out of the family. And see, we live in a world where if you don't behave a certain way, you're out of the friend circle, right? P, your friends ignore you. You don't, you know, you get ghosted. So we, you know, it is natural for a human to think, oh man, there's no way God could love me. There's no way God could forgive me for what I've done. But that's a lie. That's why Jesus came, and that's why He died, so that we could live a life of freedom. Yes, you're going to sin, but you are not bound to that sin. You literally can look to Jesus, look to the Word of God and be set free. Literally, not to have to repeat certain behaviors, not to understand, oh my gosh, I am free from my past. So when the devil wants to try to remind me of the creep that I used to be, or the creep that I could possibly be had I not had the Holy Spirit inside of me, I read and I understand that I'm free from that. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free from my, we are free from our past. We're free from all those, you know, insane thoughts that we get. You're not condemned by that. You're free because of Jesus. He's called Emmanuel. So he's called Jesus and he's called Emmanuel, God with us. This is beautiful because, and here's, I'm going to talk about something else that's important. The Immaculate Conception, the miraculous conception of Jesus. He either is or he isn't. Amen. So his DNA is different than ours. We each have the DNA of our mother and our father. He had the DNA of Mary, but he had the DNA of God. So he's fully man and fully God. This is essential in his deity. God did this. This is why Jesus is God. He's fully God. There's no way that he could have fulfilled all those Old Testament scriptures. Never sinned in thought, word, and deed if he wasn't. All he did was obey the Father. He spoke about this over and over again. I've come here on purpose, for a purpose. I do what the Father tells me to do. Jesus couldn't lie. He couldn't be selfish. He was under the full authority of the Father by immaculate conception. The Holy Spirit spoke him into Mary, put him in Mary. This is what separates him from every other small g God. And when we read Matthew, it said the prophet said, well, let's look at the prophet. It's Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah prophesied to Israel. So after Solomon died, Israel was split. And Israel was the northern kingdom and Judah was the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom was totally apostate, totally just blowing it. The southern kingdom, although they blew it too, where there were times of obedience, there was times of repentance, the southern kingdom. So right now, Isaiah's prophesying to King Ahaz, who had brought back, see, they were being good. They were worshiping God. And now Ahaz had brought back the worship of Moloch to the southern kingdom where people literally offer their babies to the fire. And so Isaiah is prophesying. And he says this in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us." Jesus, because he came as a man, Because God himself came down and became one of us. He is our sympathetic high priest. He is our high priest who was tempted and tried in every way and yet did not sin. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. That's us. We are the seed of Abraham by grace through faith. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now this is Jesus actually fulfilling what the Israelites were commanded to do before he showed up as a picture of what God would do later for his people. So there's a holiday, a Jewish holiday called Yom Kippur. And the high priest would take two goats, and he would slaughter one goat and spread the blood over the altar to atone for sin. And he would take the other goat, the scapegoat, that's where that comes from, and he would lay hands on that goat, and literally it would be the transferring of the sin of Israel to this goat, and they would take him so far out into the wilderness that that goat would never be able to find its way back. With an implication that the sins are not remembered as far as the east is from the west. That's a Hebrew phrase that means they're gone. God does not look at you and I and sees our sin. He looks at you and I through the blood of Christ, holy and blameless, believe it or not, mind blown. But that's the way he sees us and he loves us. That's what's so beautiful. Listen, it is what's so beautiful that God would love us so much. Think about how much you sin. I think about it all the time. And you're forgiven. It's not a green light for us to keep sinning and all that good stuff. In fact, I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue in all of us to keep our hearts soft towards him. That when we do sin, it hurts. It becomes foreign to us. When we do it, it's like, ooh, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I looked at that. Because of our love for him. Because of that gratefulness of, I can't believe that you died for me. I can't believe you would choose me to set me free, because I sure didn't deserve it, Lord. And yet, you did. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I mean, these are the holy scriptures. This is the green light for you and I to Let sin convict us, but not condemn us. You don't just beat yourself up and beat yourself up and I can't go to church. I'm a fake. I'm a hypocrite. Yeah, all of us are. If you want to look at it like that. But God says we can boldly go to the throne of grace. Like, I think it's more important for us to be praying. Like Pastor Barb said, that we go to his throne, that we take time out of our day, whether that be on our knees in our bedroom or driving in the car or at work, you know, just God, I'm acknowledging you because I know you're alive. I know you're with me. I know that you think about me all the time. And so I'm going to take time out of my busy life and acknowledge you, tell you I love you. To tell you that I'm sorry for my sin, but I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. God, I lift up those people that I love that don't know you yet. Draw them toward you, Jesus. God, will you share what we have with them? Open their eyes, God. Use me to be a light that would draw other people towards you, God. See, a sinner, a person who makes mistakes can intimately speak to the living God like that. And I'm telling you, he loves it. It's when we become paralyzed in our sin and we're so focused on sin and not focused on him that we get paralyzed and the devil's all. Yeah, don't open your mouth. Don't share. That's when the devil's winning in your life is when you become paralyzed in your own incapabilities. You and I are both incapable. Without him, none of us hit the mark. It's the beautiful gift of the Son that was born for you, for me. Freedom. Power from God. To still make mistakes and yet be anointed. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's with us in the battle of life. He's alive because he's risen from the dead. Jesus is the only one who has risen from the dead. Again. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Joseph Smith is dead. Jesus is alive. He's alive. And they wrote it down. You know what I mean? People. Paul even said 500 people. Really, I think around 500 people must have seen the risen Christ. And it wasn't like it was like this vision. He hung out with them. He ate with them. He showed them the holes in his hands. And people were blown away. See, this is thousands of years later, guys. So if there's any like, you know, I want to believe, I'm trying to believe, but it's a little far out, Pastor Chris. I want you to know, I get it. But I'm telling you, this is history. This is not a self-help book. This is many books by many authors of history telling the same story. All the thread that puts all these books together is Jesus. You can find him in every single book. So he called him king. So Jesus, Emmanuel, and king. He's sovereign God. Adonai, El Shaddai. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that is going to, he will return. So he came, first he came to save the world, right? And that's kind of what we're in right now. He ascended to heaven, but he came to save the world, and he will not come back until all of his kids are gathered, until he's herded all of us cats that are wandering everywhere. Right? Saving the humans like herding cats, isn't it, Lord? But he'll come back when he does return, because he is king. And his kingdom is called Already Not Yet. Because he's already established his position as king. And in his kingdom is being built. I'm looking at some of his citizens right now. And his kingdom is being built, but it's not yet fulfilled. One day, and this is our great hope and our great assurance, is that one day he will return. And as this king who returns, he will punish his enemies. That's when we will see Jesus coming back and wiping out his enemies like a king. And he blesses his kids. He saves us, protects us, and he lays waste to his enemies like a king. And let's not forget the 1,000-year millennial reign here on earth before the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus will rule and reign here. Maybe not in Westminster, Jerusalem, but he will reign here on this earth. So let's look at I just wanted to kind of give you a broadness of so let's look at the past, our past. In John chapter 12, Jesus is riding on a donkey. Verses 12 and 13. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival, festival in Jerusalem. They heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." These people acknowledged him then. So let's look at a future acknowledgement of Jesus as King in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I saw in heaven, this is John now literally, he's having a vision on the island of Patmos, right? He's in prison, man, this guy is beat up, bro. You would look at him and go, man, how you doing? But God literally takes him to heaven and starts and gives him this vision. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the way sweet, tiny little baby Jesus is coming back. He's coming back a vengeful king that will punish sin. You see, you see the invitation and the patience of the Almighty. He's patiently waiting for everyone to repent, to come to the end of themselves, to go, you know what? I'm not God, you are. I surrender. I surrender, God. Give me eyes to see you. Give me eyes to see your word and have it make sense to me, God. Like, I want to know you. That's what he patiently waits for. Is that all of his would come to repentance. Because see, it's our nature. It's in our very nature to be prideful. To think, hey man, I'm the captain of my ship. I'm in control. When we're not, we have the free will. He gave us that beautiful, wonderful, dangerous gift called free will. But he's sovereign. And there's a plan. And he gave us the plan. Starting with his son being born of a virgin. And we'll look at the last one. Messiah means anointed one, life giver. In John's gospel, I love the way he starts his gospel. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, he says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God. He was with God in the beginning." Talking about Jesus. The Word made flesh. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, through Jesus, all things were made. This is for him. We are for him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything that was made through him. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Our very lives. The light in our lives. It's from Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, as crazy as the world gets, and I agree with Pastor Barb, we need to pray. We're a unified church globally, and we need to be praying for each other. And I'm so glad to hear that they're praying for us, because I'm telling you, man, the American church, we can be lackadaisical. Lazy, because we have so much here. I think that's our biggest hurdle, is how much we have. But we also have this freedom to worship, right? We have a great gift in this country. We have a freedom to worship. We have a freedom to go out and preach the gospel anywhere we want, anytime we want. We can share the love of Christ with anyone, anywhere, all the time. And I praise God for that. Because Jesus is worthy. You know, and that's why I wanted to just talk about the Christ of Christmas all month, this month. You know, as we enjoy the holidays, and listen, I told you, there's nothing wrong with tradition. I love all that stuff. But having our mindset that this holiday season, we are celebrating. We're not celebrating gifts. We're not celebrating a fat guy in a red suit. We're celebrating the birth of our King. We are exchanging gifts. We are drinking eggnog. We're singing Christmas carols because a child has been born. A King has been given to us. We have been set free by the Anointed One, the Messiah. And so we celebrate the birth of this Messiah through tradition, through family time, all of that good stuff. Let's look at John 14, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said this, this Messiah, this Anointed One said this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. See, isn't that a beautiful assurance? No matter what, because our Messiah has come, we are now in. We have life in the Messiah, which means we're in the Father. We literally have access to the Holy God who flooded the earth, who sent fireballs down on Sodom and Gomorrah, who has taken vengeance on humanity. We are free from any of that. Now we are able to have an intimacy with the living God, an intimacy which should cause us to want to be more kind, generous, doing good deeds, being grace-filled, merciful, understanding. Things that this world is not about. I mean, it's... All you got to do is go on social media and you'll see. I mean, it's like, and I understand this because the flesh desires things like that. You know, controversy, you know, conspiracies and division. And you know, like, do you ever feel like when it comes to like what's going on the planet, you don't really know who's telling the truth? You know what I mean? It's like once you think you got a line on something, whew, the rug gets thrown out for that. And there's another thing. And think about it. Satan's not stupid. He's a fallen angel who knows scripture better than you and I. He knows what makes our flesh tick. And the children of Satan that actually are doing his bidding here on earth are being guided by him to what? Who, Satan is the father of? Exactly. So his whole get down is, look at this, but it's really this. I'm this, but I'm not. You see what I'm saying? So this is why for us, not just in the Christmas season, I guess I'm just rabbit trailing right now, but to stay in the Word, it's important for us to remember that there's hope, that there's more than what I see on the television. There's more than what I see on social media. There's more that, because the truth is that God has a plan. That I'm, I've been put here in this generation on purpose for a purpose. So what's my purpose? To speak the truth in love, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to love others like God would love them, to not get caught up in the minutiae of politics and division. And listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't be aware. It's okay. I get it. Be smart. Learn something. But again, all I've ever gotten was confused and anxiety and angry. But whatever, right? The important thing is that the Word of God heals my soul. The Word of God reminds me that I'm a child of God. I am allowed to have peace amidst the storm. That even when life gets hard and I'm going through the fire, Jesus, you're with me. I do not have to fear anymore. I don't have to fear people, places, and things. I don't have to fear my future, and I'm not condemned by my past. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God, for your Messiah, for your Son. And I want to kind of solidify this before I close, because I'm about to close. In John, I think my favorite gospel is John's. Chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe. It's like I wrote this gospel down so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the anointed one from God that was prophesied thousands of years prior in the books of the Old Testament that were kept as historical documents on purpose. He is the fulfillment of those, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus, Emmanuel, so the Lord who saves, God with us, sovereign King, and anointed one. The birth of a son. Birth of our King. So this month I'm just going to talk about Jesus. Amen. We'll go back into Ephesians probably after the first of the year. I just want to focus the rest of this month on the Christ of Christmas. And I pray that you got something out of this today. I know God, I did. Getting this message prepared. It's my first Christmas series, guys. I'm a little like... But hey, the Lord's got this. Amen. I'll close with this last scripture. Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen? Amen. Well, I just... never want to pass up an opportunity. I know we have some people that are new here, and I just want to make sure you know I just want to make sure you know. If you died today, that you are the Lord's, that you would go to heaven. If you don't, we believe in this church and that God is so faithful. All it takes is surrender. And so we pray a prayer here, and I want to explain something. It's not the prayer that saves you. The prayer is a declaration to the living God who does. And by experience, I know that God honors that prayer. And so if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I strongly suggest that you don't wait. Don't hesitate. Today, salvation has come to this church. It has come to you. Don't pass it up. Or maybe you've said the prayer before, but you know that your life has not been, you haven't been walking with God. I want to give you an opportunity to rededicate your heart, to repent and turn. That's what he asks us to do. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart today, I just want you to raise your hand and we'll pray together. Okay. All right. Well, praise God. Everybody's good in here. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm not going to fake it, man. You know, I like that. Bring somebody to church. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for your people. I thank you so much for this community of believers that we call His place. Lord, you truly are King. You are King. And so I pray a blessing over them this whole holiday season, God, that they would be the light. They would represent you well, that they would honor you, magnify you in everything they do. And say and celebrate. Lord, be magnified in our homes, in our hearts, and in our minds. We thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness and your love and your mercy and grace. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. See you next week.